Yes, sir.
Thank you and bring you greetings in the Lord from East Tennessee. God worked all the travel out for us and missed the snow got here and got plowed before I got here, which I was very thankful for. I left 67 degrees in sunshine, but it's a blessing to be here. I want to thank you, first of all, for partnering with us, for knitting our ministries together. I am your servant from this church, and you are my family in the Lord. If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, we were already family, but we have an even closer connection and a closer bond. I appreciate the many of you who said, I'm praying for you. Your picture's on our fridge. Don't put it in the fridge. The food will go bad. But the outside will keep the bugs away. That's all right. It's useful for that purpose. If you do not have one of our prayer cards, please go by the table and get one. If you're not on our mailing list, if you'd like to get an email update once a month, you can also put your name down on there. Email is preferred. Snail mail, we can do that, but it's quite a lot more expensive. So if you have email, great. If not, we'll take care of you as well. And I want to say thank you, especially to the church, for the special gift at Christmas time, which came just as an opportune time where God knew that we had we were going to have car trouble, and He was already taking care of it through you. Praise the Lord! How He does that is it's awesome to be in God's service. To give you an update, God has for various reasons the last 2 years, as I look back, He let us start the deputation trail somewhat slowly. And there are various reasons. We could go into a lot of details, but as we look back and see what God did in our lives, the last 2 years has been exciting. On that note, though, the last 6 months, it seems that God's given us that green light. We've gone from 15% to 42% of our support in the last 6 months. We're on track to hit 50% very soon. We have a foundation that supports missionaries in Brazil that has agreed to match funds 10%. If we can get to 50, they'll add 10% and we'll get to 60 in a very short amount of time. So pray for that. Pray for God to, God apparently has decided it's time to get us to the field. We're excited about that. We, 6 months ago, in the last 6 months, we've gained 18 new supporters. Last week we gained 3. So praise the Lord. God has been so good to us. Keep praying, keep asking the Lord to meet our needs and help us to be faithful to Him. We're looking very, very much now at the details of the ministry, all the passports and visas and saving as much money as possible to get that house and passage and outfit set up. So God is going to do it all. He's the one in control, and we're so grateful to be His servants, because it sure takes the pressure off. We can relax and trust Him and rest on Him. The Bible tells us to do that. If you'll open your Bibles to the book of Luke, I've wrestled in my soul several times in the last just few hours as God has moved my heart. But Luke chapter 19, if you'll go there, Luke chapter 19, and this may be somewhat of a repeat, but I'm going to take a little different approach today to this parable and to the message. There are so many things I'd love to share with you this morning, but primarily that we have a great Savior. Our Lord Jesus Christ is unlike anyone. I spoke with a Muslim man last week for almost an hour and a half, last Tuesday night. Tuesday night. God stopped me in a hotel in Little Rock, Arkansas. It was kind of a seedy place. I was trying to save money. there was a lot of, let's just say, not exactly legal activities, I think, going on in the halls that night. The Lord was in it, though. Prayed about it before I went, because there was a young man from Pakistan sitting behind the desk that needed to hear about Jesus. And this man was wide open to the gospel. He'd come as a 14-year-old boy from Pakistan from a Muslim family. Wasn't practicing Muslim, but his heart was Muslim. But as we talked about Christ, he had question after question after question. You know, why do you say Jesus is the Son of God? How can God have a son? How can God have a body? How can God die? All these are good questions. You know, Jesus was a very amazing character. If you've never read the book Radical, I recommend it to you. I'm reading it right now. You know, Jesus, it was such a different perception as a lot of modern day Christianity has of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, so many times people came to follow him. I just read in my devotions yesterday, people came up to him, Lord, you know, let me follow you. And Jesus looks right at him and says, foxes have holes, birds have nests, Son of Man doesn't have a house, nowhere to lay his head. Do you know if you follow the Lord Jesus, you're not guaranteed a place to live, but you're guaranteed God will take care of you. We have a home in heaven that beats any mansion here on earth. We have treasure in heaven that is so much greater than any treasure on earth. Right. Where moth and rust corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. You know, Jesus, he had a very, very pointed ministry. He came and did things on purpose. We need to be followers of Jesus on purpose. I'd like to challenge your heart this morning as we look at Luke chapter 19. Very familiar passage, especially if you grew up in Sunday school like I did. Let's start, just read the first 10 verses. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. Yes, he was a wee publican. Some of you will get that later. And he ran before and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Who? Jesus there. And when Jesus came to the place, right underneath that tree, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Only time Jesus ever invited himself over to anyone's house, recorded in scripture, he made the point of saying, I must come to your house today. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. That Zacchaeus received Jesus joyfully. And when they saw it, that's everybody else, they all murmured saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that your Spirit would empower me this day to open your word and to unfold it and to apply it in the way that you would see fit. God, take away my own thoughts, take away my own desires, and Lord, my own sinfulness. I pray you would forgive and hide behind the cross today. May we see you for who you are, the lover of our souls. Help us, Lord, help me to communicate clearly this truth. And I pray that you would give us all ears to hear and feet to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there's whenever you're a missionary kid, I was with a guy down in San Antonio last weekend. They were in process of moving. He's a good friend of mine, so I stayed at his house anyway. And we built dividers for silverware drawers. And it was great. But whenever you move, things get lost. I hate moving, but unfortunately that's my lot in life, being a missionary. Moving is what we do. And you know that there's always that time where you're really, really, really looking for something and you can't find it. And you get very intense about finding what was lost. There's always an answer to where it is, right? It's in a box. You know, have you had that answer before? Well, we went through that experience with some car keys a few years ago. It happened to be on picture day for the kids who are playing Little League, you know. It's that horrible day where you dress the kids up and they have to stand around and stay looking nice for, you know, 40 minutes, 50 minutes before the thing starts, just so that you can pay exorbitant amounts of money for a few pictures. Yeah, not fun. And I have a lot of kids. I have four kids playing t-ball, so they came at different times. And two came, and my wife calls me from the house frantic because she's supposed to bring the other two at their time slot. Can't find the car keys. Well, what do you need? I mean, you looking for those? I've got them right here on my belt, you know? there's a spare set in a box. And fortunately, she found them, and I'm still alive. And she made it on time. But she was very intense that I helped, you know, that I had done this thing, and she couldn't find those keys. We see here Jesus Christ very intently and purposefully and intensely seeking something. What is the Savior seeking? Well, he has a great purpose in mind. If you'll hold this thought and look back maybe the same page or one page back to Luke 18, verse 31 and following, we see here he had a very great purpose on his mind. And he took them, he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, verse 31 of chapter 18, behold, we go up to Jerusalem. That's where he was going. And all things that are written by the prophets, over 600 prophecies, concerning the Son of Man himself, shall be accomplished. What things? For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. Did Jesus have great purpose in mind? Oh boy, he did. He was coming to the point of his ministry of fulfilling his purpose for coming. Why do we celebrate, you know, Christmas, and why is Jesus such a great figure? And we think it all comes down to the cross, the moment in history. Yesterday, as I was reading that book, A Radical Again, I saw afresh, it's not the wounds. It's not the nails and that the Romans put through his hands, or the crown of thorns on his head, or the whip marks on his back. You know, all those things were terrible. But Jesus did not tremble for those things. You remember the Garden of Gethsemane as he prayed, and there was drops of, he was literally sweating blood. He had burst the capillaries under his skin because he was under so much pressure. It wasn't because he was going to be crucified. Other men, Christians, have gone to their death singing. Martyrs for Jesus Christ have gone willfully to die, joyfully, singing praises to God. It wasn't the cross, folks. It was the cup. What did he say? Not let this cross pass from me, but let this cup. The cup of the wrath of God. Every time in the Bible you see the wrath of God being poured out, it talks about the cup of his wrath. And Jesus was going to take the cup of God's wrath on sin and drink it to the dregs and turn it over on the table and say, it is finished. God himself, the Holy One, the one that there is no darkness, there is no shadow of turning, became sin for you, became sin for me, and took on himself the hell that I deserved, the separation that I deserved. On the cross he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Not Father. Because he took that for you and I. That was the tremble. That was the, it was so repugnant even to consider. And yet he willingly said, not my will, but thine be done. I take it. This is the purpose he has in mind. And on the way, he stops in Jericho. Oh, he didn't have to. He could have gone right around. But he stopped in Jericho. Why? Because the Son of Man had come to seek and to save the lost ones. Those who were lost in sin. And there was a man named Zacchaeus who was searching. Oh, Zacchaeus was rich. Bible makes a point in telling us that. He was a tax collector. You know, April's coming. I'm sure that's your favorite day. You've got it circled on your calendar because you love it so much, right? No, it's because you can't forget it. Don't let that thing go wire. You got to file an extension. Tax day. Well, this is even worse. This wasn't, my grandfather, by the way, my dad's side, down in Birmingham, Alabama, he worked for the IRS. He was a government employee. He'd always show up at our house for my birthday. I don't think he ever remembered it was my birthday, but he got off for Labor Day. So in May, you know, he'd show up at our house. It was great. You know, I got to see my granddad. He wasn't your favorite guy. I mean, nobody was like, hey, the IRS guys, you know, nice to see you. This is worse though. This is a Jew working for the Nazis.
That's right.
This is Zacchaeus working for the Romans.
Right.
He's working for the occupier, for the oppressor. Oh, and there's certain advantages to that because, for example, you'd come in and you'd have your Schedule C or your 1099 and you'd, you know, and Zacchaeus would look up his book and he'd say, 20 shekels. And you'd be like, I thought it was just 10. And then his two big Roman bodyguards on either side would step forward and kind of grab for their sword hilts. You'd be like, 20, okay, okay. You know, 10 went to Rome, 10 went to Zacchaeus. Plus, he was chief of the publicans. He had a bunch of other publicans working for him. And they gave him a cut because he was boss.
That's right.
Is it any wonder the guy was rich? And yet, all of his wealth, all of his, you know, hard-heartedness left him so empty, so desperate, so broken that when he heard Jesus was coming, he risked personal indignity. He risked mockery. He risked his own kneecaps to climb a tree to see the guy that was coming through his town. He thought, maybe there's something here that will satisfy the emptiness in my heart. You know, we can identify with this as Americans. We have so much stuff that doesn't make us happy. It's crazy. You know, my kids, I look at their room, we clean their rooms, and I'm thinking, how did you get this much stuff? Talk to our kids this week after taking 3 hours to really organize and clean their rooms. And we were like, you know what? Why don't we pick the things that we don't play with and find some kids who need some toys and give them to them to be a blessing? And they were like, yeah, we should do that. And I'm like, yeah, we should. Because I ain't taking all this stuff to Brazil. No way. Here's your suitcase. You can fill it up. That's it. You know, take that. You know, can you put the guinea pig in? No. We've got a lot of stuff, folks, and we're the happiest people in the world, aren't we? I mean, just go to Walmart and look around at all those people. They're all so happy. What? Well, look at Hollywood. I mean, they make millions of dollars, you know, play acting. They're happy, right? Their marriages work. Nobody has problems with drugs or depression. I mean, they stand up with a bunch of rich people and give each other little gold statues and pat each other on the back, and millions of people tune in to watch it. We're warped in our country, folks. We're broken bad. We think things are so important that mean nothing. And we put so much value in stuff that is valueless. Guys hold out on their contract extension because, you know, they need to make $35 million, not $32 million, you know, in 3 years. I mean, it's crazy what we do. And people will applaud you when you do well for yourself. Hey, you want people to speak well of you? Go make a lot of money. Build you a big house. Spend it on a bunch of crazy stuff. You know, be Vince Young. Burn through, what, $25 million bucks it's like $100 million bucks in 7 years. You know, spend $5,000 a week at Cheesecake Factory. He's got a lot of fat relatives. I'm just kidding. folks, and people are like, oh, that's so crazy. And we go out and do it ourselves. You know, I'll be happy if I've got the 55-incher, not the 40-incher, you know. I'll be happy if I get the Bassmaster Pro, you know, I'm going to be... Yeah. You know, we all have our toys. Again, having a TV, having a boat, having a house, having a good job is not a problem. If they're God's, if you use them for the Lord, you want to witness to somebody? If you've got a boat, that's a great tool. Get them out on the boat. Captive audience. Talk to them about the Lord. You don't like what we're talking about? You can walk back. That's fine. Really? I mean, great. Get a boat and call it visitation, you know? Where's Pastor? He's out on visitation. I don't know. But use what God's given you. Here's Jesus Christ. He's coming to a man who has so much stuff, and yet his heart is so empty. And here's the thing sought. Jesus is seeking today the same thing. A heart that is searching. A heart that's prepared. Jesus had prepared Zacchaeus' heart. God had already been preparing this man's heart ahead of time. Maybe you're here this morning, and all joking aside, your life is empty. It's empty. All the stuff everybody said was going to make you happy, all the grandkids, all the children, all the job, all the success, all the things isn't doing it for you. There's a reason for that. Because we are made to worship God. We are made with a desire in our hearts. Somebody said a God-sized hole that stuff can't fill, only God can. And it's true. God has put eternity in our hearts to draw us to himself. Here is the purpose of Jesus' visit. He came because Zacchaeus' heart was prepared. In verse 4, you see this. He ran before and climbed up a sycamore tree just to see Jesus because he was going to pass that way. Can you imagine the scene? All right, we've got to use some holy imagination here. Zacchaeus is looking for a tree. I mean, you know, here he is. I don't know how tall he is, but he's short enough that he can't see over Jewish people. So that's pretty short. And he's like, you know, he's like this little midget and he can't see anything. And all of a sudden he's like, gold. I mean, sycamores are great. They were low branches, kind of spread out, you know, so he's like, no, everybody's looking that way? Okay. And he hikes up his Armani robes and just shinnies up this tree. Hooks, you know, gets out on the branch and he's like, oh man, am I good or what? He's coming right by here. This is great. And then Jesus comes right by there and Zacchaeus is like, wow, what is the big deal about this guy? What is going on? And then Jesus stops and Zacchaeus is like, wow, that's really close. Maybe I could get his autograph. No, I don't want anybody to see me, you know. And Jesus looks up. Everybody else, I mean, Jesus looked up, so what's the rest of the crowd do? Yeah. And exactly what's going on right here, the you can just hear the snickers and the glass. Is that Zacchaeus? Oh my God. And Zacchaeus goes from excited to mortified. But then Jesus looks right at him and he says, Zacchaeus, can you imagine the thunderbolt? He knows my name. Shook his world. Hey, Jesus knows your name. He knows you, exactly who you are, what's going on in your life, what you're struggling with, what you, your aspirations, your goals, your desires. He knows what you need. He knows you by name. On the flip side, you know, as we go out and give the gospel to people, we don't know everybody's name. We don't know what they're going through, but God does. Do you know that if you'll witness, if you'll open your mouth, if you'll get that tract out of your pocket and give that to someone, God will put you in the path of those who need to hear the gospel. But, you know, you say, well, I never get to see anybody saved. I never tell anybody about God. Nobody ever responds to me. Well, maybe it's because you're not doing it. Maybe it's because you're not opening your mouth. You're not passing out the tract. You're not making the effort on purpose to be an evangelist, to share what you have. If you'll open your mouth, God will put you in the line of people who are searching for Him. Last month in our church, because one man got a vision, a passion for souls, and he started taking people out soul winning, door to door, knocking on doors. 7 days a week they go out knocking on doors. 16 or 17 different people. I go with them every Wednesday that I'm home. 2 or 3 hours we go out and knock on doors. See, knocking on doors, don't people just chase you off with their pit bulls and try and shoot at you? No. Last month, in the month of February, 31 people came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And most of them were at church the next Sunday. How in the world? Because when you're seeking on purpose, God puts them in your path. Jesus Christ was searching for Zacchaeus. Look what he said to him. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. We're in a hurry here, buddy. Every time I call your pastor, he's always in a hurry. He's got stuff to going on. Zacchaeus is like, Jesus is like that too. He's like, hey, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. I'm coming to your house, buddy. That's a pretty confrontational approach to evangelism. Hey, I'm coming to your house. Come on, let's go. You know, maybe not the thing you ought to say to the, you know, greeter at Walmart or whatever. Right? Hey, I'm coming to your house. Let's go. You know, but maybe so. You know, people are like, well, I'm just going to evangelize with my lifestyle. Well, good. I mean, to the fact, like, if you live like the devil, don't tell people you're one of God's children. Okay. Right. But living for God is not enough. You have to use words. Your life will not save anybody. Jesus Christ will. They've got to meet Him. So you've got to open your mouth as well. And using that together is very powerful. Here is Jesus Christ saying to Zacchaeus, here, I'm putting you on the spot. Here's my proposal. I'm coming to your house. What are you going to do about it? Amen. He put him to the test. You know, he drew the net. He said, Zacchaeus, put up or shut up. I'm coming to your house. What are you going to say? And what does Zacchaeus do? He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. You know, there are people out there who are so hurting, who are so broken, who know they desperately need something, and nobody is telling them what it is. And when they hear the good news, it's like, yes, that is what I need to hear. Maybe that's your heart today. Maybe there's somebody here like that. You're thirsty. Can I remind you, Jesus is the one who said to the woman at the well, you can drink out of this well, or I can give you something to drink. And what I give you to drink will never, never wear out. You'll always have plenty. It's the water of life. Here's Zacchaeus. He needs that. So his response was great, but the people's not so much. You know, everybody else's response was less enthusiastic. There's a great protest here, in fact. And when they saw it, verse 7, they all murmured. Who's all? Well, that's the disciples. That's the crowd. Pharisees, Sadducees. I mean, everybody had a reason to hate Zacchaeus, right? I mean, we're not talking about a good person here. We're talking about a sinner. You got any of those around here? Yeah, I'm a sinner. I kind of forget we're sinners sometimes. I was raised in church. My mom and dad were in the ministry when I was born. I was taught the truth of God's word from the time I was a baby. From the time I could talk, I was learning Bible verses. So what? I was on my way to hell just like anybody else. My parents never taught me to lie, but I knew how. They never taught me to be covetous or selfish or prideful. But boy, did I know how. Nobody ever taught you that either. But you knew how, because we're all sinners by birth. And it wasn't until I realized that I was a sinner, that I was on my way to hell, and that Jesus Christ died for me, that God opened my eyes and I put my faith in Him. You know, there's no magic words. It's not praying a prayer that makes a person a Christian. It's not getting baptized that makes a person a Christian. It's faith in Christ. Amen. By grace, you're saved through faith. Has there come a time in your life where you put your faith in Him? I told the teenagers this morning, it's the kind of faith that puts on a, and it's even more, but to put in perspective, it's the kind of faith that puts on a parachute and jumps out of an airplane. You know, you can skydive without a parachute. Just can't skydive twice without a parachute. Want to skydive twice? Got to put one on. Now, how do you put on a parachute? Oh, just kind of lackadaisical, button one or two of those things, and I'm good. No. If you're jumping out, which you're crazy if you want to, but if you do it, that's fine. You strap everything on. You pull those straps tight. Can't feel your legs, but it ain't coming off. Right? And you jump out, and all your trust is in that thing. And if you pull the cord and it doesn't open, and you pull the second one and it doesn't open, hope you like butter because you're toast. Yep. Folks, this is true. And we put our faith in something like a parachute. Jesus is the ultimate parachute. I mean, not to be sacrilegious. He is the only salvation. There is salvation no other, for there is no name given under heaven whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus is the only Savior, the only way, the only truth, the only life. He's not some God at the top of a mountain and everybody finds their own path up to Him. He's the God that came down to us and died in our place and rose again to prove that He has power over life and death, heaven and hell, and He offers it free as a gift. Oh my goodness. Zacchaeus took that gift. Everybody else, they didn't like that. Can I say, just if you want to hold your place here, I'll have you turn back one place. Isaiah chapter 65. Can I just hit not a soapbox, but just a sad reality in my life. Isaiah chapter 65, the Lord's talking to his people right at the end of the gospel of the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. Verse 5, he's addressing an attitude that we see in the story of Zacchaeus. His people which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. What is God's attitude towards that type of approach to sinners? God says, these are a smoke in my nose and a fire that burneth all the day. You ever burn trash? We have a big, we live on 130 acres, so we've got plenty of place. If we want to burn something, we can. We've got a pile, brush pile. Last year I was putting some, burning some stuff, getting ready for winter time, and just kind of burning off the pile. The kids thought it was great, pour a little gas on the fire, we were very safe. We were very safe. I wouldn't let them come close. But, I'm the dad. I'm fire safety guy, and I was pushing some stuff in on one side that had kind of fallen out just as the wind whipped around right in my face. Isn't that pleasant? What's that smell? Burn dad. Quiet. Is that popcorn? No. It's not pleasant. In fact, it hurts. It stings. It makes us recoil and react. And God says, that's how I look at you when you say, I'm not going to tell that person about Jesus. That's how he looks at me when I think, I'm just not going to witness. Do you know what their orientation is, God? Can't talk to them. They're Republican. They're Democrat. They're this. They're that. You know how that guy cusses at work, Lord? Hey, I've worked with them. People who can't say two words without dropping a bomb. Hey, who's going to tell people the truth if people with the truth don't? The Mormons? The Jehovah's Witnesses? Did you know Mormon kids, when they're 3 or 4 years old, start saving money? Because when they get to be 18 and 19 years old, they're going to go on a missions trip for 2 years and they're paying their own way. Not some mission board or somebody else. They pay their own way. They work jobs and save up to go spread lies. When I was in Brazil getting my visa last year renewed, there was 50 Mormon missionaries up in the federal police building in the room waiting for their temporary visas. And they spoke Portuguese. And one of them had a Book of Mormon out in his lap, and there was this Brazilian lady, and he was giving it to her saying, this is just like the Bible. I heard him say it to her. You talk about wanting to stand up and preach. I didn't want to get kicked out before I got my visa. But I walked by that lady and I said to her in Portuguese, don't you believe that? That is a lie. Folks, they're spreading the lies that some demon gave Joseph Smith and... Folks, we know the truth that we're not willing to give up, that upgrade or this, that, or this and that to spread the gospel. Do we really believe the gospel is what people need? Do we really know that if we didn't have Jesus, we would be on our way to hell? Is that real to you? Or is it just something you talk about? We're not here to play church. We're here to worship our Savior who gave himself for us. Being a missionary is no different than being a church member in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. We're all on the field, just we work on different corners of it.
That's right.
The fact that I get to raise support and go to Brazil so I can work unhindered and focus on the gospel is no different than a person who says, you know what, I want to reach my street for Jesus Christ. So here comes Easter, we're going to have an Easter egg hunt at my house. Say Easter eggs, that sacrilegious. Well, you get a bunch of kids to come to your house, maybe their parents too. You could even invite them to church. You could even tell them about Jesus. You could even put gospel tracts inside with the Easter candy and the eggs. Wouldn't that be something? Say, well, they might want to go in my house and use the bathroom and get my floor dirty. It's okay. Where the stall is empty, there's no oxen. But by the strength of the ox, get a lot of work done.
That's right.
That's what it says in Proverbs. Why do you have VBS? Why do you have outreach? Why do you do stuff like that at the church? Oh man, it gets the church dirty. Those kids put their hands on the walls. It's okay. Get the crib a little dirty. Reach the families for Jesus. As we wrap this up, how do we know what happened here? We see the salvation of a soul. Zacchaeus stood and he said, Lord, half my goods I give to the poor. Now this guy had a 401k to be envied. This was a lot of money. Right off the bat, he goes, half my goods I give to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody, I'll pay them back four times. Now, how many of you, that's what your pastor preaches right here, Brother Long, when you give an invitation, you say, now, if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, come forward, give half your goods to the poor. Say, that's not usually what he says. I know. What is going on here? Just like when the rich young ruler came to Jesus, you know, good teacher, good master, you know, what do I need to have eternal life? And Jesus says to him, well, go, you know, sell everything you have, give it to the poor and come follow me. Boy, that doesn't even sound like admit, believe, receive, or, you know, what, Jesus, this guy's rich. I mean, look how much good he could do if you just, you know, get him into the kingdom. I mean, that guy and Zacchaeus had the same God to start with. Their God was themselves. Money, stuff. But Zacchaeus had exchanged his false idol. He had turned away from idols to the true and living God. And now money didn't matter to him because he'd found real treasure. You know, what God wants to give you is not a sacrifice. Oh, well, if I give up that promotion or, you know, that job or, you know, I'd sacrifice. Reminds me of that parable, the guy who found the treasure in the field. I mean, a treasure that was greater than anything he could ever earn in his entire life. All the money he'd ever make in his entire life together wouldn't buy this treasure. He looks around, nobody saw it. He kind of covers it up. He goes back to his house. He sells his house. He puts everything on eBay. I mean, the bike, the Harley, the kids. No, not the kids. Don't put the kids. He puts everything on eBay. And his neighbors are going, what has gotten into you? What are you doing? His family's like, why are you selling your house? He's like, I'm going to buy that field over there. They're like, you're crazy. What are you going to do that for him? I got a hunch. Is he crazy? No. He's exchanging something less valuable for something enormously valuable. He's not crazy. He's wise. That's what Zacchaeus had done. Money? Just a tool. Jesus, that's what I want. Have you come to Jesus Christ today? The Son of Man is seeking you if you haven't. He came on purpose and died on a cross on purpose and rose from the dead on purpose so that you sitting here this morning, he already knew you were going to be here. He made it possible for you to be here. If you don't have Christ as your Savior, you can come follow him. You can give your heart to him and stop following all the other idols and follow the true God. Give your heart to Jesus Christ. Put your faith in him. Trust him. He's trustworthy. 401ks, economy will go like that. It could all disappear. I may end up working on the mission field to feed my family. Who knows? That's no problem. God will take care of me just as well as, I mean, it's all his. We don't have to do things the way it's all, you know, laid out necessarily. But we do need to follow him. We do need to have faith in him. Can I just say this? Zacchaeus received Christ. It radically changed him. Jesus said, salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. How about your house? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? It's the first question. If you don't, get rid of the idols. Put Jesus on the throne. Put your faith in him. Number two, do you have a Christ-like spirit as you're going out? Are you seeking the lost on purpose? Are you living the gospel on purpose? Or are you just bogged down in all the stuff and all the things that your head is so far down that you don't even see lost people? You don't even see that God wants to use you to reach people. People at your bridge club, people at your school, people at your job, people that you on your street. The Great Commission in shoe leather starts on my street, my neighbors. Yours too. Do they know the gospel? Is all they know about you is that you leave Sunday morning, come back, leave Sunday night and come back, and Wednesday night and come back, and that's all they know about your Christianity? Why don't you invite them to your house for a meal? Everybody's afraid to go over to each other's houses. Just put that behind you. Say, God, help me. Put that behind me. Open your door and invite. Yeah. Give an opportunity to get to know people and share the gospel with them. God will bless you if you do. God will make you a missionary. Yeah. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would help us today, Lord, to live up to this challenge. I can't do it without your Spirit, but by your Spirit I can do all things. And by your help, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help all of us this day to be followers of Jesus Christ, of yourself this morning. Help us to follow you through the water, through the flood, through the fire, but Lord, always through the blood. Help us to follow you in a way that's fitting of who you are. Help us to be ambassadors of the King, not ashamed to say so. Help us to live in a way that's pleasing to you, with confidence in you and in your Spirit's power. Dear God, I pray for that soul that's here today, that is maybe going through the motions but not have true devotion to Christ. Lord, may you stir hearts. May you draw them to yourself. May there be true faith in Christ today, born anew in the hearts of those that are lost. I pray that you would do the work that I can't do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor Long, come ahead. Brother Henderson.